sing for? All of the youth who seeking the truth and seeing right through their costumes. Who know when the mainstream news crews do interviews, they human cartoons. Just paper thin, ink and imagination, man's creation. More like subliminal training or political campaigning. Hand the nation's opinions daily swaying with justifications of slaves. I wonder why it doesn't coincide with the high rise of the homicides that we facing. Deterioration of education, it takes a backseat.
Welcome to Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and on the web streaming for the world at kpfk.org. My name is Damon Azali Rojas. I'm your host for today. Really happy to be back after a couple weeks gone. We're going to start off our first segment talking about a three-judge panel in California that is going to consider whether or not California should impose a cap on its prison population in order to reduce prison overcrowding. So we'll have critical resistance members Serena Huang and Bob Lane to talk about their push to change sentencing and parole laws and to stop more prison construction. For our second segment, over the last week or so, many of the six, in fact, of the SF8, the eight former Panther either members or supporters who were brought back into trial for a suspected killing of a police officer in 1971, got released on bail. And so we're going to be talking to Ray Boudreau, who is one of the Panther Eight, who is actually here in Los Angeles, has been an activist here for a long time. And finally, for our third segment, we'll be talking to Malcolm Suver of the People's Hurricane Relief Fund in New Orleans. Malcolm will be talking about his candidacy for the New Orleans City Council under a newly formed Reconstruction Party. We'll be right back in a few seconds. Stay tuned.
Remember who you are. My name is Eternal Truth, and those who know will call me Rock. Sela, Sela. I remember who you are. I am Eternal Truth, and my story's written in the stars.
Welcome back. So back in May of this year, the California legislature voted to 53,000 new beds inside the already splitting at the seams prison system of California. And today we have Serena Ring and Bob Lane, who are members of Critical Resistance, to speak about the cap that could be about to be placed on the California prison population. Welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you, Damon.
Hey, Bob. Yeah.
So this has been kind of an ongoing fight in terms of wanting to put more and more and more and more people in prison. I know there have been a couple of bonds that have been floated that didn't actually get support from voters and whatnot. And last May, the Democrat majority legislature in California voted to expand the prison system.
Right.
So, Serena, why don't we start with you? A lot of this is around overcrowding. What does actually overcrowding look like, and why are the prisons overcrowded?
Overcrowding means that prisons are meant to hold a certain number of people, and right now we are at about double that. So, of course, it leads to a lot of problems, a lot of, like, physical overcrowding, it sets up for a lot of, like, prison guard violence from a lot of fights that break out within prisons, and just really, really bad conditions within prisons, worse than they already are. And basically, it's just the way it's always been since we started constructing more and more prisons. The way, especially in California, that we've been growing, when we build prisons, we fill them. So even since, like, 1986, when we started to double the number of prisons we've had in maybe, like, less than a decade, then we've had over 100 years, we've continued to fill them. So AB 900 is actually going to build 53,000 new prison beds. It's going to be the world's largest prison expansion plan in history. It's going to cost us $15 billion, and if we overcrowd those beds at about double, that'll be maybe looking at about 100,000 more people being locked up, which is basically going to double the current prison population.
I mean, it's an interesting thing, because when you're looking, I was doing some research, you know, for my campaign around prison construction. And I know before, I think it was 1984, there were some like 12 prisons that were in the state of California. But since then, there's been 21 that's built. So
right.
Basically about a prison a year. What are, in terms of, just stay with you, Serena, just a little bit more, what are the current numbers that you actually have of who is actually the numbers of people in California prisons right now?
I believe our number is shy of 100,000 right now. And nationwide, it's at about 2 million.
Okay. I'm looking at the, I guess, the amicus brief that you guys put out, and it says, this is kind of in relation to one of the things you were saying in terms of once you build them, you fill them. It says, in the opening of Kern Valley State Prison in Delano 2 on June 2005 exemplifies the phenomenon. In May 2005, there were 163,000 prisoners in California. The Delano 2's new beds were immediately overfilled. By the end of the year, there were 167,000, actually almost 168,000. So this is an increase of almost 5,000 prisoners in 7 months. So as of now, it says right here, 172,971 prisoners as of May 31st, my birthday, of this year. So 53,000 more.
Right. You can only imagine what that number is going to look like and how that's especially going to affect cities like Oakland and L.A. where there's already a really high incarceration rate. Right.
So, Bob, tell us in terms of, I know that also on AB 900, there was the 53,000 beds, but there was also this governor-imposed state of emergency that then actually became permanent, which allowed prisoners to be shipped out of state. Is that part of that number, or is that a separate kind of number of prisoners?
No, the 53,000 beds are just the beds that AB 900 proposes to build. The governor tried to invoke emergency powers to send prisoners out of state and immediately was stopped in that effort by a court injunction. So the state is putting all of its eggs, as it has done time and again over the last two decades, into trying to build its way out of an overcrowding crisis. The overcrowding crisis arose in large part because year after year, the legislature pursued a let's-get-tough-on-crime policy, and they criminalized activity, they lengthened prison sentences for crimes that were already on the books, and they sent people back to prison for technical violations of parole. So this crisis is not a surprise to anyone who's been following this. And it's the result of two decades of neglect by the governors, and the legislature. And this prison expansion program came about because of the threat of the federal courts saying enough is enough and imposing a cap on the population in prison. And it's an effort to head that off. But there's no real reform here. As Serena said, it's just more of the same. In fact, the state's own commission calls AB 900 a part of the status quo. This is not a change, and it's not going to solve anything.
So let's come back to the panel in a second. I know you part of the also in the brief was saying that upwards of 60,000 people per year are being violated for parole and sent back to jail without doing new crimes. And I think the other statistic that I've heard, and I don't know if I have the number right, but Rose Brass, who you know is also with Critical Resistance, was at a workshop one time and saying there has been 1,500 new laws or expansion of laws since the early 80s, which is part of getting folks into the system.
Yes, repeatedly. There have been a series of commissions that the legislature has appointed to look at the problem of prison overcrowding. And time after time after time, those commissions have made recommendations which the legislature has ignored. One of those major recommendations was to reform parole and not send people back to prison for technical violations of parole. The legislature has repeatedly turned its back on that recommendation.
And what are some of those violations that would trigger somebody to get sent back?
Oh, if they don't report in to their parole officer regularly, if they leave the county without permission and don't report their whereabouts, those are the kinds of things. We're not talking about committing a crime. We're not talking about any violation of any law. We're just talking about the kinds of restrictions that go with parole. And that is a big contributor. As a result, there are lots of recommendations that will address the overcrowding crisis. And I think just to amplify on what Serena said, the reason the federal courts are involved is because the overcrowding crisis, they have concluded, violates prisoners' federal rights. So the court that's sitting is going to be very interested in how the state intends to address the problem of the violation of prisoners' rights. And it's, as I said, it's a product of two decades of neglect.
So, Serena, I know that there is the, actually right now, in terms of the California three-judge panel, what are they supposed to determine?
They are actually going to rule on if we should put a cap on the population. If we can put a cap, that would basically be
almost
a moratorium on locking more and more folks up.
So it would actually not allow AB 900 to go through?
It has the potential to do that. We don't really see where that's going to go. And another thing is 53,000 beds is going to take a long time to construct. So that's another reason why AB 900 is not a response to overcrowding, because, for one, it's not an immediate response to overcrowding, aside from the fact that it does not help to reduce prison populations. It also is going to take a long time to construct these 53,000 prisons. So this cap goes through, it could potentially release prisoners, or it would stop more, it would put an end to this construction.
So it would then force parole and sentence reform.
Right.
Okay. So, it's kind of an obvious question, kind of a rhetorical question, kind of a sarcastic question almost, I would say. If we think about the Democrats and on the more liberal, I wouldn't even say left, the more liberal side of the center. Mm-hmm. And that the liberal legislature is the one who passed this. Mm-hmm. And I know that Democrats love to build stuff, freeways, prisons, hospitals, everything else. But what is really, it seems like, it just seems like it doesn't quite, even in the current situation, doesn't quite make sense that a Democrat-led legislature would be spearheading this. So why do you think that is? And I guess the other question would be, knowing the other big force in the state of California around prisons is the Prisons Guard Union. And so where were they in relation to this?
Well, I think the legislature, which was virtually unanimous in passing AB 900, I think the Democrats are always worried that they're going to get outflanked on the tough-on-crime approach.
Tough-on-crime, tough-on-terrorism, tough-on-war.
Exactly, that the Republicans follow. What they're ignoring is that, first, there were two prison construction bond issues put to a vote in the 1990s that were defeated. Proposition 36 was passed in 2000, which provides for treatment for certain classes of drug offenders rather than incarceration. And there are a number of polls that indicate that people don't believe that the tough-on-crime approach is working. The people are way ahead of the legislature on this score. Mm-hmm. They recognize that spending massive amounts of money to build more cells will only add to a system that has failed. It has failed to provide justice, and it has failed to provide safety in the communities.
And I want to add that, and I want to emphasize, actually, that I think this is something that Schwarzenegger and legislators know. They know that we don't want more prisons. They know that the voters don't want more prisons, and that the folks who live in L.A. and Oakland and all over California don't want more prisons. That's why they had to sneak this bill by. They made this deal behind closed doors. Normally, there were no public hearings, there were no public anything, there was no public input. California residents didn't get to vote on this bill. The legislator and the Schwarzenegger decided to put this bill through without any kind of public input by sneaking it through as a lease revenue bond.
The lease revenue bonds. Folks, if you haven't heard about that, you should go to my interview with Ruthie Gilmore earlier this year, where you talked about the whole lease revenue versus general obligation bonds. Lease revenue, you don't have to, they try to go around the whole voters thing. But what I think is interesting, if we look at this on the state level, and then based on LA, county and city, there were two initiatives that were actually trying to get 1,000 more police officers. Both of them failed in terms of the on the ballot. And then they kind of went around and did this whole trash tax, which was around the voters. So it's real interesting to me that both on the city level, in terms of the expansion of the police force, which is the front line, the big net, if you will, to get people into the prison system, on both ways you have sometimes, I would say, quote, unquote, progressive, whichever that means at this point, politicians, particularly Democrats, who are helping this get locked down, you know, in terms of what they're doing and pushing these policies. So what's your response to that?
Well, I think another part of this is that there are very powerful interests that want to see more prisons.
Such as who?
The people who build prisons, the people who supply prisons, and the people who staff prisons. Mm-hmm. Although, interestingly, the Correctional Officers Union filed an amicus brief earlier in the federal court in which they went on record as opposing AB 900. And the reason they did is because they provided all this money to build prisons and nothing
for them
to pay for staffing of the prisons.
Meaning that they'll have to stretch the staffing, or meaning that that's a whole nother bond or...
Well, it's the, you know, it's the correctional guards who have to deal most directly with the overcrowding situation. After the people who are in prisons, it's the members of the correction guards union that has to deal with it. Now, often we're at odds with them because they want different things out of the prison system. But in this instance, they also recognize that AB 900 is making a failed system bigger, and it's not solving anything.
Well, I want to add one more question, and then I know you guys have events coming up, so I want you to be able to say that in the last few minutes here. But I guess my question, I don't know if this was you guys are working with this, or this is part of the article that I read in the LA Times this morning that's around kind of like using disability law against the kind of the prison system in relation to that. Many of the people inside prison and jails in California have mental health issues that they need treatment for, and you have people sleeping on the floor and this and that. Is that part of this, or is that a separate effort?
There's a separate lawsuit in which a federal judge, who is one of the three-judge panel that's going to be hearing this prison cap lawsuit, appointed a receiver. And what that means is that his appointee took over the providing of health services in the California prison system because he found that the state was incapable and unwilling to do it. And I don't know about the specifics about using disability law, but what that means is that the federal courts have now had been forced to step in because, again, the two decades of neglect have created a crisis. And the federal court now supervises the delivery of health services in the prisons. And that receiver has said publicly that AB 900 will make his job more difficult, and it will result in his taking longer to restore adequate health care to people who are in prison. Nobody likes this bill except for the governor and the legislature, and they only passed it to try and head off more federal supervision of the prison system.
Right. Okay, well, got about a minute left, and why don't you tell us what's happening on October 20th? Tell us how to get people can get in touch if they want more information from y'all.
On October 20th, there's a protest at Chowchilla State Prison. You can go to CR's website, criticalresistance.org, and get information there. We're going to have caravans coming from Northern California and coming up from Southern California. And Chowchilla is a very, very small town. It has two of the largest women's prisons in the country. And we're going there both to protest AB 900 and to show our solidarity with the women who are in prison there. And it's going to be a wonderful day. So I hope people will want to join us in this caravan.
And you can also get in touch with us through our office line. That is 510-444-0484 if you're interested incoming. And we also, Critical Resistance is part of a coalition called CURB, California's United for Responsible Budget. And we have a lot more literature if you guys are interested in learning more about AB 900. And we're looking to be able to strategize more strongly around this and mobilize in larger and larger numbers, around 53,000 prison beds.
So again,
and our website there is www.curbprisonspending.org.
And the phone number for Critical Resistance is 510-444-0484. The Labor Community Strategy Center, where I work for, is also part of CURB. So if other people want more information about CURB, definitely check it out. I want to thank both of you, Bob Lane and Serena Huang, for being with us from Critical Resistance. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
And this is Damon Azali Rojas. This is KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. And we'll be right back with Ray Boudreau, one of the SF8s, after this break. Thanks.